All right, welcome to Down by the Bank, sponsored by Brewers Pizza, Orange Park, and Clay County's only brew pub. This is Corey.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's Derek.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's JK3.
Derek, this evening, I think, is recording from his bathroom based on the sound quality.
Hey, man, stuff is packed up. I don't feel like digging, trying to find nothing. So y'all just going to have to, we just going to have to make it until I can get where I got to be. So
yeah. Right. Another Friday reference. It's like when Pops told Craig to come into the bathroom. Yeah, the air freshener going.
I don't even like dogs.
Let me go ahead and reference one of the reviews that we just got, because I keep meaning to do this on a recorded episode. A paragraph somebody wrote, 5 stars, so I'm good with him, but something like, one of the hosts doesn't get the jokes and spends minutes not understanding, and he should just get over it. I mean, come on, like, really?
Hey, brother, whoever you are out there, me personally, we've been trying to get him to watch that movie for a while, so we're going to get him, the DVD, and so that he won't struggle so much no more. But, you know, it's a great movie, and both JK3 and I have been trying to talk him into watching
struggle. like, this is some, like, enlightening thing.
It's like a cult classic, man. It's a classic 90s yeah, movie.
I think it's on Netflix, so I'll probably check it out.
I still can't believe you've never seen Friday. Like, that blows my mind that you've never seen it. My wife has seen Friday.
Have you seen Game of Thrones?
And that says a lot. What? Man, no, don't even get me started on this Game of Thrones stuff. I'm not into dragons. I'm not into incest. I'm just, that's not what I'm into. Great. I don't want to watch, dragons flying around and the winter is coming. Whatever floats your boat. But hey, if you're into that, then hey,
I'm just saying there's other things that are widely acclaimed that you guys haven't seen too. So, and I'm not bashing Friday you guys are bashing. You said dragons like twice. Okay, we get it. You don't like it.
We just watched Brandon Allen throw 3 picks. So, I mean, that was, acclaimed. People thought that he was going to be, should get a chance to start. And against Atlanta's second team defense, which probably ranks, 30 or 50th in the league, or, that was terrible. Right. That was terrible.
Well, really quick, just to give context, we're actually recording at halftime of the Jaguars-Falcons game, and so what he is referencing is that Brandon Allen has thrown 3 interceptions in the red zone. And so it's hilarious because we haven't recorded in like a week just because it's been kind of a dead period with the last game coming up. But our last episode was an argument for why Brandon Allen should be considered a starter. So this isn't a good look, needless to say.
Well, this is why we get paid nothing to host a podcast about the Jags and Doug Marrone and the brass. I think this is kind of a statement to Jacksonville and statement to some of the media and statement to some of the beat writers. It's like, okay, you want to see Brandon Allen play? We're going to put him in for a substantial amount of time against, quote unquote, his competition. Now, granted, one of those interceptions shouldn't have been his fault. I think the last one he just threw before the half, but the fade route to DD, you got to throw it to the pylon, and then the comeback route where he threw the interception, you got to throw that away. You got to run it, tuck it or throw. Not throw across the body and try to fit something into a tight window where you don't have the arm strength to do it.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't have said it better myself.
So what was the you were talking about before we were recording, Derek, about one of the interceptions and it was like a fade pass or something. You were saying that was a textbook mistake.
Yeah. And JK3 just mentioned it, man. It's always knowing. See, when you're playing ball, man, when you're playing football, and like I said, we're just fans. We don't know nothing, okay? We don't know anything. We're just Jags fans that want to see the team win. But sometimes you throw passes to open receivers because they're design plays, and sometimes you throw it up and your guy goes and makes a play. And a fade route inside the 10 especially is not like it's planned, but you got to give your guy a chance to make the play. So you throw it to the pylon because he can either get up and get the ball and put 2 feet down, or if he can't get it, nobody gets it. And that's the end of it. You move on. You live to fight another day.
One thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because with Westbrook putting up the numbers that he is, and I think when I was looking at it, I don't know if this is right, but I think he was over 100 yards at the half. So is the reason that he's blowing up because he is like a legit NFL starter and he's proving that by kind of just destroying the backups that are in there? I mean, is this like a point that he's proving that he should be up there with the starters when the regular season starts?
I don't know about all that, because part of being a starter in the NFL, all those wide receivers that start in the NFL can block. Like, talking big time blocks, crackbacks, the legal ones. And, you know, he's just going up. I mean, it's preseason, man. These guys haven't gotten ready. They haven't, you know, stretched their legs out and really gotten after it. And the only rookie I've ever seen, rookie wide receiver, to dominate DBs is Randy Moss. And I'm sorry, it's not him. But, you know, he's proven that he can be a solid member of the team.
I'm not going to go out there and say that, you know, Westbrook is the next Randy Moss, but I am going to go out there and say that this is what happens whenever you have off the field issues and you are a question mark. You have to literally go out and make a case for yourself. And that's what he's doing. A case is being made. He's had some character issues that have been off the field, and he's letting his play on the field actually back that up. And I think he is playing above his competition right now. I mean, he's running past guys. He's running past, you know, everyone they put on him. I would love to see him get some ones, some work with the ones and see where he is. But I do agree with his blocking. You know, he's got to get square up, get between the shoulder pads there, and learn to drive somebody off the ball.
Right. And then Shane Wynn, I think JK3, you were mentioning that he was another standout guy for you.
Yeah, I love the small scat back, you know, small quick receivers that New England has been, you know, churning out left and right. He every week has been going up against competition that's been bigger than him. My only thing about Shane Wynn is that I don't think there's enough spots on the team for him, especially with the wide receiver department. He's got to make his living on special teams, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to make that that move on special teams right now. With this being the fourth game, his spot on the team relies on Brandon Allen. If he's going to be able to get those looks from him, and you know, pretty much he's going to do what he can on special teams. But what's going to make him stand out is what Brandon Allen is able to get to him.
Apple CEO, Chief Executive Officer Tim Cook, 7 carries for 36 yards, averaging 5.1. Derek, is he challenging? Is he challenging Leonard Fournette for the starting position?
No, and forget all those backup running backs. You might see one of them either on a practice squad, or they're going to be like 15. You know, we got so many running backs, it's not even funny. Pay attention to that offensive line, man. What trash blocking. There were some decent blocks and some creases, but I'm pretty sure Can blocked his own guy on one play. And also, they were getting pushed way back behind the line. Now, again, we're talking preseason and fourth game, but we got to have some quality and some depth to do something. But we got to take all the wins we can get. And what I mean by wins, not actual wins and losses in the games, but wins at the line of scrimmage. And we did get a couple, but then as many good wins as we had some bad blocking, man. Just guys tripping over each other, people getting blown up in the backfield. You remember when we had Coleman on some episodes back, and I brought up that, you know, guys are getting to the line of scrimmage, guards are not pulling around, they're not coming around the corner. He said that's because they're afraid to get hit. That's what I'm talking about. Are you afraid to get hit? Like, you should be coming around that corner hard, pulling tight, ready to knock somebody on their butt. And just nothing, man. It's
been
bad.
Like the talk of sports talk radio this week for the Jags has been the fact that the offensive line struggled so much, and I guess people are questioning why we didn't make any moves in that area, or at least pony up the cash to get some of the free agents that were out there. Mike DiRocco had a tweet earlier tonight. Interesting that Jaguars are having AJ Can and Patrick Omame, Luke Boenko play against the Falcons. Clearly, they want to get a longer look at those linemen. The unit has really struggled the past two preseason games. So are you guys concerned at all, like, going into the season with the offensive line struggles? Or do you think that having Fournette in there will help, you know, balance it out a little bit? Or are we screwed?
They definitely should have did some, and this is one of those should have, could have, would have, as Myers just bangs a long field goal in right now that just caught me by surprise. But it's one of those should have, could have, would have, you know, scenarios. They should have, they could have, and I'm pretty sure right now in hindsight they would have if they would have known what they were going to get. Same thing with the quarterback situation. Could have, should have, would have. They haven't done their due diligence. They thought that they were going to be able to make it in with a ragtag, you know, offensive line, and which I'm kind of concerned about because Doug Marrone was the offensive line coach. He knew this unit better than anybody else did. So he should have known what he had at offensive line, you know, all the positions on the line, and should have gone out and tried to get at least some type of veteran skill set, you know, some type of depth and more competition there than what we do have. So we'll see.
You know, I'm going to take it 5 steps further. What's really going on in that front office? They're football coaches at the highest level. They know what they're missing. They know what they don't have. Offensive lineman and quarterback. So why didn't they go out and get it? Who's really in charge? I thought Tom Coughlin was supposed to come here and really, you know, lift us up. And I'm not saying it's only the first stinking year, so we're not saying that, yeah, it's going to be great, we're going to win all. But those were obvious gaps. Bigger than the gap that we filled at running back, that's for sure. So I'm really starting to question who's running the team. Maybe Caldwell still has a little bit more pull than we thought. Because that whole draft smells like Caldwell, not like Coughlin. Although Coughlin got the back. Coughlin got his Brandon Jacobs, which, you know, Fournette's going to be better than Brandon Jacobs, I think. But the rest of the draft smells like Caldwell.
I'm interested to know what does Caldwell smell like.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Something we can't say on this family-oriented show.
I think A3 already talked about incest in Game of Thrones, so that's ruined at this point.
Yeah.
That field goal was 56 yards, by the way. Wow, Jason Myers, I always knew he had it. Great guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anything else that you guys have from the time that we were off to anything else in the games? I mean, the second half, really, in preseason four, the fourth game, I mean, there's not a whole lot. I mean, what are you guys looking for, I guess, in the second half?
I'm not looking for much. I'm just ready for them to trim down to 53. The only thing I think, you know, obviously with Bortles starting, what are they going to do with the wide receivers? Who's going to make it? Who's not? When Green, I mean, that's going to be tough, man. That's going to be real tough.
But who do you pick out of those two?
Yeah.
Quick debate. Who do you pick out? You obviously, they're on the bubble. You know, Aurelius Ben is going to make the team because of his special teams impact. But if you got Wynn or Green, you know, what do you do? What do you do in this situation?
I think they both maybe go. Because if Wynn goes to the practice squad, he may get picked up and signed by someone else. So Green, I don't think he can go to the practice squad. I want to say he's been in the league too long now. So between Cole, Westbrook, Hearns, Lee, Robinson, Ben, I think both of them might go.
And that's six.
Yeah, that's six right there. Let's see, Cole, Robinson, Lee, Hearns, Ben, Westbrook. That's six, man.
See, I don't think I don't think we keep Ben though. I think we keep Wynn.
No, because what you got to have somebody on special teams. It's kind of like your special teams captain, your special teams guru. Every team has one. Like I think the Patriots is Jackie Slater. You know, Jackie Slater is like a 4-time Pro Bowler or something crazy like that. No one's ever heard of him, but he's on special teams everywhere for the Patriots. Kickoff, kick return, punt, field goal, he's everywhere. He does everything special teams for them. Every team has one or two guys that's like that.
I don't know. It seems like that Shane Wynn, I mean, I don't know, because otherwise, I just think they keep Wynn, and I think they keep, what's his name too, Keelan Cole, and I don't think they keep a seventh receiver, so I don't know. I just feel like he'd be the odd man out, and they'd have to find some other special teams player.
I'm predicting Wynn and Green, man.
They're going to keep Keelan Cole because he didn't dress.
Yeah. I'm predicting Wynn and Green are going to be gone, and that's, you know, hey, it's a business, you know.
Keelan Cole had a lot of drops in the last, like important drops in the last couple games, though. I wonder if that'll influence anything. I mean, really, like if you think about it, like camp, okay, that's fine, but the first game was the only game in the preseason where he really played well. The other two games, he played pretty poor.
I think he's shown them some stuff like that he can do on special teams. And they can kind of move him, you know, in that position where Rashad Green was. I think his hands are a little bit more reliable than Rashad Green's when it comes in that situation of the punt return, kick return specialties. But as far as him being on the field with the ones in a game situation, I think it'll be very rare, because even if they do a four wide receiver set, you're going to have Hearns, Lee, Robinson, and then at D.D. Westbrook right there. That those are your four that are going to be in that four and that quad set. So
unless we trade somebody, because that's been a little rumor going here for like a couple weeks now, because the Patriots need a receiver. So who knows? I've read a couple articles about how like Belichick's a big fan of Allen Hurns, and Hurns has been on the trade block for a while and all that kind of stuff.
They don't need to give that man up there another darn weapon, man. I mean, you give him that's just going to be something. That, and if the receiver actually grasps the playbook, you can – it's just – please don't trade him up there. I tell you what, though, going into, you know, getting past the preseason, man, and going into the first game against Houston, you know, prayers for everybody in Houston that's going through that, you know, terrible storm right now. Houston's going to be ready to play. The Texans are going to be up, not just because of the fact of the first game, but for the fact of what's happening in that city right now. If they're able to have that game there, I'm pretty much – I wouldn't – as a Jag fan, I'm not looking forward to that at all.
Yeah, I tweeted that the other day.
Anytime you involve emotion in sports like that, it's pretty much a wrap, man. It's done.
Yeah, I did that on Twitter. I said I could, if this game is played in Houston, and again, you know, prayers to everybody in Houston and all the flood victims. But if this game is in Houston, you're gonna see something electric. Like, just think about the Super Bowl or the Superdome when the Saints played against after Hurricane Katrina. I think they ran a kickoff back like the first play, and it was just. Like watching that and seeing that happen was just unbelievable. Like, so, I mean, if this does go week one, we already knew it was going to be crazy because they're going to be in their battle red. They don't like us. We don't like them. But now they've got a whole area, you know, rallying behind them. They've got
the country
going through this flood. Oh, yeah, the country pretty much. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, everyone's rooting for Houston to bounce back.
Everybody hates us already, so... It's like this game. I must feel bad if we win this game. You
know, we don't. People don't hate the Jags. They hate the old style city that Khan and his organization are trying to turn around. You know, with their stash investments, investing back in the community. They hate that. They actually, when I talk to other NFL fans that are, you know, loyal Patriots fans or Steelers fans, they actually feel sorry for us. You know, like I was watching Hard Knocks the other day, and Chris Baker for the Bucks was talking to some of those Jags fans, like, what's it like to come out here knowing that your team going to get blown out by 30 points? Or something. He said that, something like that. I'm like,
sure.
Yeah. God. But was he lying, though? Well, he was asking a legitimate question, like, how do y'all keep coming out here? He's like, y'all some loyal fans, man.
I guess that's respect. I don't know how to take that, actually.
I mean, but that's what I'm saying. So it's not hate. It's more like just wow. You know, just
like
wow.
Apathy, I think. Just kind of like, eh.
Yeah, something like that.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to doing a little pre-game, a pre-episode on Houston. I hope it's a great game. I hope the Jags come out and fight hard, but... I don't know. It's not looking good.
Well, I guess we'll kind of wrap up there. One tweet I'll mention really quick at the end that I thought was kind of funny that I texted you guys is after that third Brandon Allen interception, somebody said Doug Marrone looked like he was dead inside, which I thought was...
that would be...
He looked just like... I mean, that's the best way to say it. He just looked dead inside. I mean, he seemed extremely unhappy in the first half, even though we had the lead. So, I don't know. Maybe that's just his face and how his demeanor always is, but...
Hopefully that style of coaching turns into wins. We'll see.
Anyway, all right. Well, we appreciate you guys listening. Again, we are available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, pretty much all the podcast providers out there. If you're on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, preferably if you could. We've had a couple lately, and we really appreciate it. So again, thank you guys for listening, and we will talk to you guys next time.